Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
First of May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 19th of February, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, after 35 years, David Cretney retires from politics. Manx politicians in the thick of debate in Tynwald questions, and more on the mobility scoot on the buses row. The island's political parties aim for local elections. What's a lifesaver? The WI is a lifesaver. An action on dyslexia in the Isle of Man.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fast Am I, Ed Oldham.
Fast Am I. An MHK says he feels the ongoing debate over the Isle of Man post office is too hard for the Council of Ministers to grasp. Tim Baker was one of several members of Tynwald seeking that the future and workings of the organisation be scrutinised by the Economic Policy Review Committee as a matter of urgency, of which he is a member. A committee will look at current firework regulations on the island. David Cretney, MLC, brought the matter to Tynwald following a public petition started by Judith Corrin, and only two members voted against the motion. A chip van driver from Onkenoo shared a bottle of rum with a friend who was still over the drink drive limit the next morning, a court has heard. 37-year-old Sebastian Gosiniak of Ballacurry Avenue appeared before High Bailiff Jane Hughes at Douglas Courthouse. He was fined £1,000, ordered to pay £890 towards prosecution costs, and banned from driving for a year. Further afield, Harry and Meghan will officially no longer be considered senior members of the royal family from April. A spokesperson for the couple says they'll lose their office at Buckingham Palace from the 31st of March too. An unpublished Instagram post reveals Caroline Flack was having an emotional breakdown for a long time. Her family decided to release the statement, where she admitted feeling shame and embarrassment following her arrest for assault. And Justin Fashanu has been inducted into the National Football Museum's Hall of Fame on what would have been his 59th birthday. The former Norwich and Nottingham Forest striker was the first English professional to come out as gay while still playing, but took his own life in 1998. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you. Ed, from the Ronalds Way Met Office, a strong wind warning in operation for the next 24 hours. Persistent rain through the night. In fact, there's a yellow warning for continuous rain through the evening and through the night. On a diminishing breeze down to 6 degrees. For Thursday, Jourdain will dry up before dawn, then sunny spells and isolated wintry showers. Yes, wintry showers. Top temperature is 8, but it will dip by the afternoon on the strong westerly. 5 degrees the overnight minimum into Friday. Jehenia, strong to gale force southwest wind, bringing intermittent rain during the afternoon, and 9 degrees. Sunset in 2 minutes' time at 25 to 6. High waters at 5 to 9 tonight. The overnight low 27 minutes past 3. Sunrise 28 minutes past 7. And the morning high water at 9:30.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Tynwald got to their questions paper today, a day later than usual, because yesterday was the budget. Manx Radio's John Moss watched the questions and listened to the answers.
OK, let's start with a question.
At what point does the Minister consider that the slippage, as far as the audit is concerned, would be a failure?
The answer in a minute. Here's another.
May I ask the Minister, is there any provision for hedgehog underpasses or wildlife?
Answer coming up. Just to roll up in that corner for a while. Here's one we can answer, or can we? To flume or not to flume?
The flumes are not going to be open for this Easter. As I said, you know, we are in contractual talks with both the suppliers and the main contractors.
Graham Cregeen, incidentally, the first one to officially go down the flume was David Cretney, who's retired from Tynwald this week. Also for Question in the Keys, the passenger figures on the trams. Bill Shimmins can remember when, well, trams were crammed.
I appreciate, as the Minister says, that the trams are very old, but previously were used to transport all sorts of goods all round our island. It seems to me we need a more creative approach.
Preserving and registering buildings. Environment Minister Geoffrey Boot to answer that one.
We get more call from one side to register buildings and save them, and from the other they're impeding development and redevelopment and economic development. We have to be careful that we don't encourage people to let buildings deteriorate.
Another thorny question raised was the stopping of mobility scooters on buses. Laurie Hooper wanted to know
if they can run a trial for, I think it was 2 months, legally and safely, why is that not permanent? Why is this not something that can be made permanent quite simply, perhaps with some reasonable adjustments?
It was clear from the trial that it wasn't safe. I mean, that was the point of the trial. And just to give you some other aspects, in London, the average speed of the bus is 6 miles an hour. Our buses routinely operate at 50 miles an hour.
We also heard more about the traffic lights that are used to gauge progress on government plans.
Green, which we use the green amber red traffic light system. Green, 47 of those actions are on target to be completed. That's 58.02%. Yellow, a risk of falling behind target, is 26 items, which is 38.10%. And red, behind schedule, not on track, is 9.87. Life is never 100% green, Mr. President.
Well, let's just finish with the idea of underpasses for hedgehogs. Minister?
Okay, I'll have to come
quickly
back
subject.
I'll have to come back on the member. I'm not aware of those sort of issues.
And also the question about slippage.
It will be a failure if at the end of this administration we have not completed it.
And further to the aforementioned mobility scooters on buses debate, Eric Corkish took part in the trial. Here's his view.
In my opinion, he has said today that my buggy is safe to use. And I intend to someday this week attempt to get onto a bus again. And if I'm not allowed on the bus, I'll block it in again like I did 2 weeks ago. There is no logical reason now or lawful reason why I cannot use that bus. My buggy blocks, it can't move. It's within the specifications for a wheelchair. So basically it fits in and it does exactly what they say, where you have to back into the space, put it against the stop, so it can't move. That's what he said today, if it's safe and legal. So you can only take that to mean that if my buggy locks and can't move, if my buggy is within the sizes that are allowed, what reason can he now have to stop me going on it?
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology. Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree departed Heysham at 11 minutes past 2 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas shortly after 6 o'clock tonight, spinning round and heading back off to the northwest of England at 7:45 this evening, arriving there about 11:30. The overnight boat leaves at 2:15. The Ben, of course, the only steam packet vessel on duty. Manan and the Fastcraft resumes her seasonal services into Liverpool next month, March 27th, first sailing of the year to Dublin. The day after, March 28th, and to Belfast on April the 8th.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com.
Well, this could have an effect on the Isle of Man. The chairman of the hospitality company, Aurora, his name, Surinder Arora, has been discussing the UK denying visas to low-paid workers post-Brexit. His hospitality company employs 2,200 people from more than 70 countries. He's been speaking to Sky News' Ian King.
When you're talking about the GDP of nearly 9%, or a little over 9%, and we predict it to grow over the next 5 years, by 3.8% per annum. That's bigger than our rest of the economy. And by 2025, nearly 11% of our workforce will be from the travel tourism industry. And that's why I think it's a shame that we actually haven't got a dedicated minister in the government looking after the travel tourism. That's long overdue.
And would you like to see, Surinder, some sort of... I mean, the agricultural sector has clearly got exceptions under the new system that's been unveiled today. Would you have liked to have seen hospitality getting exemptions, particularly certain busy times of the year?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, the one thing I've always been in favour of, and I'm saying that as a nation, I think in the past we've probably been a bit too generous with our welfare system, our benefit system, and we certainly shouldn't be just opening doors for people to come in and just whether it's housing or benefits, and just to pick up on the back of that. I think if people are willing to come in and work, and we need the workforce, then I hope the government would support that. We certainly don't want anyone coming in and just looking at the nation just from a freebie point of view. But if they can come and add value and pay their taxes, then I hope the government would look at that in a positive way.
What about your existing workforce now, Surinda? Do you worry that some EU nationals might head for the exit?
I think over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, we have lost quite a few people that have gone back because there was the uncertainty about the Brexit, and I'm so glad that the government has moved on to its promises and we've left the EU. So I think going forward, I hope for the time being, we are okay. But we, you know, I was asking my HR director this morning, saying, how many jobs have you got open? How many people are you looking for? And Anne was saying that we're looking for at least another 120 people more. So I just hope going forward, the government will keep an open mind that if it's a business that need to make an exception on, and providing we've got people coming in with guaranteed jobs, that they would support that.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, powered by Y Manx.
And the news from HSBC. Lots of jobs to go. Bankers in the City of London are braced for job losses after HSBC unveiled a major restructuring, including plans to cut 35,000 jobs over the next 3 years. The banking giant aims to shed $100 billion in assets to cut annual costs. HSBC said some of the cutbacks will be in its European and US investment banking business, but hasn't confirmed where the cutbacks will fall. The group employs 40,000 staff in the UK and over 200 on the Isle of Man.
WiMAX Technology Communications Services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher as investors monitor the spread of the new coronavirus. The S&P 500 and Nasdaq Composite rose to record highs as tech stocks outperformed. Details in a moment. The US dollar climbed against a basket of other currencies as expectations for more policy stimulus boosted investors' appetite for risk. Oil rose after supply was curtailed by a US move to cut more Venezuelan crude. Gold prices held steady as an uptick in equities was kept in check. In corporate news, Betfair and Paddy Power operator Flutter Entertainment was the standout gainer a day after saying the Australian regulators had approved its merger with the Canadian-listed poker company The Stars Group. Sound familiar? British gas owner Centrica was higher after an upgrade at Investec. And on the downside, NMC Health slid after Czech shareholder and activist investor Grupta Global Investments said it wouldn't be taking a strategic stake in the UAE healthcare provider. On the markets, the FTSE 100 closed 1% up at 7,457. The DAX in Frankfurt was up 0.8% at 13,789. Just after 5 o'clock in New York, the Dow Jones up 0.5% at 29,373. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index, as you heard, up 1% at 9,823. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.5% at 3,390. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 $29.3, €1 $19.7. And in commodities, gold up 0.3% at $1,606 an ounce, and Brent crude up 2.5% at $59.06 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
16 minutes to 6. Good evening. This is Manx Radio and this is Update. I'm Andy Witt. Do you know someone, or do you have dyslexia? A local woman's campaigning for more support for dyslexic children in school and wants to draw attention to the positive factors of dyslexia. She hosts a dyslexia group open to all and meets on the first Thursday of every month at Café Lair on Lord Street between 7 and 8. But that's not all she's doing, as Rhiann Evans reports.
Julia Ferner, a local mother and care worker whose daughter is dyslexic, has created a petition looking for better educational support for children with the condition. It's due to go before Tim this October. Since its creation last week, it's garnered hundreds of signatures already and has inspired both public and politicians alike to raise their voices in support, including MHK Anne Corlett, who says the current policy on dyslexia is outdated.
I think really the point is the policy's not really fit for purpose, but the Minister for Education, Sport and Culture has formed a working party, and that includes myself, Tim Baker, MHK, and Jane Poole-Wilson, MLC. And the working party has been set up to work with education and the stakeholders to help to formulate a revised policy. I'm very keen to get started. I mean, Julia Furness's petition wouldn't be presented until Tynwald Day in July, and then it would be picked up in October, Tynwald. So I'm keen to get on with this now, because, you know, children, we should have the best education possible. And I don't want to wait until October to move on with this. So that's the idea of the working party, is that let's get on with this, let's try and get it sorted out as soon as possible. And, you know, I congratulate, actually, Julia on the work she's done so far in highlighting the issue. And having spoken to her, I think we'll be able to work together really well on this.
I also spoke to the manager of the family library, Sue Jolly, and asked her, why is dyslexia still seen as an embarrassing thing to have?
I wish I had the answer to that, because even when I talk to people in the family library who are parents of children who have achieved so much despite their dyslexia, and I said, would they be prepared to speak about it? They've actually said no, they prefer not to. They hide it under, and they're embarrassed by it. I've got people who come to the library who are really quite embarrassed, unfortunately, which is, shouldn't be like that. Shouldn't be that way.
What do you want to change about the current situation with dyslexia?
Well, I'd like people to be proud that they're dyslexic rather than having to hide underneath it.
More information on this story can be found on the Manx Radio website.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
The second round of the Callan Wild-sponsored Manx Fell League will take place on Sunday. The Mullaghbracks-sponsored Craignabar Fell Race will return to its original start and finish near the Craignabar Hotel, with the course distance remaining at 16 kilometres and 823 metres of ascent. Start time is 10:30 a.m. with registration between 9:15 and 10:15. Full safety gear is compulsory for all competitors, which will be checked at registration. A minimum age to compete is 18 years on race day. As in the recent Ardwallon race, there will be a shorter 5K course for juniors over 12 years old and novice runners. This course will be fully flagged and will start at 10:45. It'll be another counter in the junior championships. All runners will be required to carry a waterproof top, hat, gloves and a whistle. Further afield, Manchester City chief executive Ferran Soriano insists allegations they've breached financial fair play rules are simply not true. The Premier League champions have been banned from all European competition for the next 2 years by UEFA. City will appeal against the decision. Pep Guardiola's side will again try to host their Premier League match with West Ham this evening. The original fixture was postponed earlier this month due to Storm Kira. Second-placed City are 25 points behind leaders Liverpool. And Ireland have named an unchanged starting lineup for Sunday's Rugby Union Six Nations clash with England. They head to Twickenham on the back of successive wins over Scotland and Wales.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSell. Personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations.
Well, we said goodbye to a giant of Manx politics today after a remarkable 35 years in Keys and Tynwald. David Cretney retired. The court paid a fulsome tribute.
And there's a standing ovation for David Cretney from the whole Tynwald Court.
I'll always be very grateful to the people of South Douglas and before that St George's Ward and Douglas Town Council, who placed their trust in a relatively inexperienced 31-year-old Manx Labour Party candidate in 1985 and for the following six elections to the Keys. And thanks to them, over five elections in 25 years, more people voted for me than any other Douglas member elected. I like to boast about that. Mr. President, I think it's fairly obvious that I'll always be a House of Keys man. The direct relationship on a daily basis with those you have the honour to represent in here, and to me, there is no greater honour as a Manxman, and who've placed their trust in you, is very rewarding. And to my very patient and understanding family, who accepted because of my commitment I wasn't always there when I should have been, I hope in the time ahead you don't come to regret my decision when I'm around all the time. Thank you, Mr. President.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
10 to 6 on Manx Radio. The matrix signs to the mountain, just taking the matrix signs. Use fog lights if the signs from Bagarrow to the mountain, Sorby to the mountain and Ramsey to the mountain. Victoria Street in Douglas has got nighttime closures between midnight and 6 between Fort Street and Loch Prom for high pressure cleaning. Hope Street in Douglas closed for vehicles and pedestrians for telecommunications cable lane. Glenmore Road, St John's, again that temporary closure between the A1 Peel Road at Timwell Hill and Timwell Mills. Difficulty getting to Timwell Mills. They're resurfacing the carriageway. Finch Road, by the way, the one-way system, the reversal at Finch Road, has been extended to the end of August this year. That'll be fun during TT. Details of the promenade at myprom.im. It finishes August 2021, by the way. At the airport, the inbound London City was half an hour late, so the 5 past 5 to London City hasn't gone yet. The 25 to 6 Dublin went 4 minutes early. Later departures for Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick showing us no problem.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions 670-145.
The Isle of Man's local political parties have been outlining their ambitions for authority elections in April. Our local democracy reporter Ewan Gorn has more.
The Manx Labour Party and the Isle of Man Green Party already have commissioners and councillors in post, but both parties are hoping to field candidates come April, primarily in Douglas. Manx Labour leader David Cretney told me his party has its sights set on the capital.
In terms of Douglas, we haven't had any Manx Labour Party people in the council for quite some time. There are two candidates this time, Peter Washington in North Douglas and Mark Clark in South Douglas. We hope that if the people support them and give them their place, their trust in them, that they'll be able to work together on a number of issues, together with like-minded independent members, to try and make some progress in the issues that are of concern to us.
Well, what are the issues of concern?
Where do you start and when do you stop? I mean, there are a number of issues that you would term to be national issues, and so as such we'll be going on to them with hopefully candidates in the general election in 2021. However, in terms of local authorities, then it's, I guess, making sure that ratepayers are getting value for money. It's about the functions of local authorities, making sure that they're done efficiently. Listening to the people who represent you. All too often people say, well, I voted for so-and-so, but then I never heard again from him till he came round knocking on the door at the next election.
The Green Party's Andrew Bentley is currently a Douglas councillor. He outlined the Greens' key campaigning issues for the upcoming elections.
We're concentrating on three particular issues that local authorities really can make a difference with. They are parks and wellbeing, recycling and housing.
And how many candidates are you going to be putting forward?
Well, at the moment, we have the three incumbents who are obviously all going to run again. And we do have other candidates on our radar, but we haven't officially declared that yet.
So there could be more?
There could be more. We have three hardworking councillors already in place. We've taken on some very progressive agendas. We've been pursuing the recycling. We've also been pursuing the quality of flats within Douglas on that, on the committee that I serve on. We've been very supportive of the active travel strategy. If you look at the work that's been done by Andrew Jessop in Braddon with the support of his fellow commissioners, they've just built flats which are particularly energy efficient and equipped for electric vehicles. And of course, they also have a curbside recycling scheme.
Liberal Vannon will not formally back candidates in the forthcoming contest as it's not part of the party's strategy at present. The island's nationalist party, McVannon, has not commented on whether it will put forward any candidates. The local authority elections will take place on April the 23rd.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 6 minutes to 6. Today we took Manx Radio's Man in Line to the Women's Institute headquarters in Onchan. We discussed all sorts of things from the WI, young people, looking after your heart, the effects of online gambling, Jam, Jerusalem, and yes, that naked calendar. One sentiment that echoed throughout several members was the organisation, the WI, had been a lifesaver. Listen to Maggie, Pauline and Lillian.
It was something that I would never have joined while I was in England, but somebody suggested that we join the WI, and we thought, funny, what's the WI? They hadn't got a clue, but it was a lifesaver.
And it's a bit extreme, isn't it, a lifesaver?
Oh, it was. I didn't know a soul on this island when we came over, and I have made so many friends. I have learnt so much.
When I came over to the island, I'd only been here 4 years. I joined WI because my husband said I should, because his aunt belonged to it in England. Well, I thought, right, I'll give it a go. I need to find friendship. And I joined the WI, but unfortunately, my husband died suddenly of a heart attack, and he was only 48. So it was a complete shock. And the WI then, I was in Sulby WI then, and what I found from WI, they actually wrapped me up and looked after me and gave me all the advice that I needed. And so to me, it was a lifesaver for me.
Just going back, you've been with WI for how long, did you say?
8 years.
8 years. Yes. And what drew you to it?
Well, after my husband died, sadly to say, I lost a lot of confidence. And it was one of the ladies in the village that said to me, why didn't I go with her to her WI in Laxey? Just to see, it's only a couple of hours a month, and if I didn't like it, that was fine. But I was sure to know most people there. And actually, as Paulie said, lifesaver, really, because I did get my confidence back.
You don't strike me as somebody who's short of confidence.
Well, not now. But after my husband died, I did lose a lot of confidence in myself, yes. Yeah. And WI, you know, that's what it is. It's helping young people, helping anyone, women of any age, really, to get back onto where they should be.
Well, we had a fantastic time with the ladies of the WI in Onchan. Thank you for a wonderful time today. You can find out more about the WI if you go to Facebook. There's lots of WIs on the Isle of Man, and they're all on Facebook. And let's say goodbye to David Crutney as well. What a giant in politics, as he was the first down the flume at the NSC. Maybe when the flume finally reappears at the NSC, he could be first down the new flume. That will be a fantastic picture opportunity to see David Crutney retired from politics down the flume. That's it for Update. After the 6 o'clock news, Pride and Pardoning, a repeat of our two-part documentary concerning homosexuality on the Isle of Man. It's put together by Aaron Ibanez after the news at 6 o'clock tonight. Thanks to producer Sarah Hendy and newsreader Ed Oldham. Update is compiled 5 nights a week from the resources of the Next Radio News Department. Don't forget, you can download that free podcast and also follow Manx Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Your bespoke Year of the Longtail nightly news and information solution returns Thursday night at 5:30. Stay dry. WINT.